Amen. Amen. The season still amazes me. Like, we make our plans, we make our agendas, we set them up, we want God to move in our way, and He's like, I want to move in my way. And that's what He did this morning so far. He's moving His way. You know why He does that? So we can keep the eyes off of ourselves and our eyes fixed on Him. Because it's because of His goodness that we're here today. Amen? Amen. Full circle, church. It's an honor to stand before you for the first time. Delivering a message as your pastor. I'm humbled. I'm honored to be here in this position. I didn't come to Full Circle Church for a position. I came to Full Circle Church for God. And the position came from Him. He doesn't call the people that are equipped. He equips the people that are called. He's still equipping me. I aspire to be the very best pastor that God has created me to be. And it's going to be a process. I'm going to mess up. Forgive me for that ahead of time. But I'm going to make some good decisions too. So I'm excited to be your leader. I'm excited to be your leader that's led by Him. I'm not leading on my own strength. I'm not leading by myself. I'm leading with the power of God inside of me. He moves in my heart. He moves in your heart. And this community doesn't stand a chance because we're all going to come to know who Jesus is because we're going to make Him famous in this community. Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
Amen. So last week, Reverend Carl kicked off our Moving Forward series. I'm excited to kick it off this week. Last week, we tried to sing the Moving Forward song and had a little hiccup at the end, but God wasn't having it this week. We were going to do it this week, and we're moving forward because that's who He has called, what He has called us to do. And I love the lyric in there that it says something like this. I'm paraphrasing because I can't remember exactly, but I declare that my past is over. In you. What the enemy would have us believe is our past is not over. He would have us to believe that we're stuck in our past and the decisions that we've made in our past will hinder our future forever, and that is not God's heart for us. God's heart is, like we sung over and over again, He will make all things new. He is a redemptive God, and He redeemed us from the very beginning, and He will make all things new in your heart and your life if you'll posture yourself in a place that is ready to receive that. We're going to talk about a very faith-filled, marvelous story today. But I want you to be encouraged that the men and the women that we're going to be looking at today were normal, ordinary people just like you and me. They were met by God and they allowed God to change their perspective and who they were. Without question, the most important thing on earth is to please God. If you please God, it really doesn't matter who you displease. And if you displease God, it doesn't matter who you please. And the way to please God is to believe Him and His Word, believe His Word is true, and to believe that His Word was given for you and I today. No matter what else you do, if you don't believe God, you can't please God. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. We're going to explore one of the greatest miracles of the Bible today. It's one of the most captivating stories that you'll ever read in the Word. Turn with me to Hebrews 11:27. It'll be up on the screen too. If you don't have a Bible, you can follow along there. Hebrews 11:27 says this: it was by faith that Moses left the land of Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He kept right on going because he kept his eyes on the one who is invisible. It was by faith that Moses commanded the people of Israel to keep the Passover and to sprinkle blood on the doorposts so that the angel of death would not kill their firstborn sons. It was by faith that the people of Israel went through the Red Sea as though they were on dry ground. But when the Egyptians tried to follow, they were all drowned. If you're taking notes today, I've titled the message this morning, A Great Dilemma. It's titled A Great Dilemma. Let's pray. God, I thank you for who you are in our lives. I thank you for giving us your truth, your word. I thank you that it's sharp, that it cuts deep, that it pierces our heart. God, I pray that today you would sear your truth in our hearts, that we would never forget it, that we would come to know you more than when we walked in these doors, that we would leave with the confidence knowing that you met us here, you spoke to us, and that you encouraged us, and that we had hope and faith in you, God. Remove any agenda that I have, Father God. Replace my thoughts with yours. May I communicate your heart to your people today, God. Not anything that I've created. All from your throne. And we'll never cease to praise you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Have you ever faced a situation that you felt like you were boxed in and there was no way out? Just me? Anybody else face a situation where you felt boxed in? You're coming to the end of the month and the end of your money has already came. The rent's due, the electric's due. It appears that there's no way out, or perhaps you've applied to jobs and been rejected by them all, or there appears there's no way in. We would call this a predicament, right? We call this a predicament. It's amazing the phrases we use to describe predicaments. We up the creek without a paddle, between a rock and a hard place. You might be in a jam. You're in a catch-22 situation. It appears no matter what you do, which path you take, which decision you make, there's no way out. This predicament can be related to your job, your marriage, your kids, something you're dealing with inside personally, but you're in a tight place and you see no way out. You're in what we call a predicament. I think back over my life in a few precarious situations that I found myself in. The very first one, Beck and I have been married 2 years. Not even 2 years. We hadn't been married 2 years yet. And it was in 2009, Becca was pregnant with our first son, Hudson, sitting in the back. He was 14. 14 in March. We're living in Christiansburg at the time. And I received a call from my boss to invite me in to go over the goals for the upcoming year. So I walk in the meeting room with thoughts of what this next year is going to bring for the company, only to find out that I wasn't part of their next year plan. I was in a predicament. My wife's pregnant. She's working a very part-time job as a nanny for a family. And I find out I'm not part of the plan. So I'm in a predicament, right? But would you be surprised if I told you? Probably won't be surprised. God met us in so many ways over that year. Like so many opportunities that we had to put our faith and trust in Him. And He always made a way out. But the key to that is we put our trust in Him. Our trust wasn't in anything else but Him. The Red Sea miracle was probably the greatest predicament, catch-22, that anyone has ever faced in history. Is the most involved predicament the nation of Israel will ever see. And they lived to tell the story, and we still tell the story today. It became the most celebrated event in all of Jewish history. The great departure of His people, called the Exodus. Let's pick up the story in chapter 14, verse 1. Then the Lord gave these instructions to Moses. Order the Israelites to turn back and camp in Pihahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, camp there along the shore across from Baal-zephon. The problem was, Baal-zephon was a geographical dead end. Here's what the Israelites faced. To the north were huge Egyptian fortresses, massive stone structures that couldn't be attacked. To the south was the Egyptian desert with no protection, no water, no food. To the west was Pharaoh and his army. And to the east, the Red Sea. It was the catch-22 of catch-22s. If you go in any direction, you're going to die. This is what they were faced with. Any direction was death for them. Now God in His Word doesn't say that it will be easy to serve Him. He doesn't say that it will be a bed of roses. He doesn't promise us challenge without difficulty. He doesn't say that it's always going to be up and never down. He didn't promise us that it would always be smooth. But God does promise us this, that if we endure and keep our eyes on Him, and we would have faith to see the invisible, we would get a heavenly vision from God and get our encouragement from that. It is important for us to remember that when we are out of all options that are possible, God does what is impossible. God never expects us to do what only He can do. Period. He never expects us to rise up to His level. He expects us to put our eyes and our faith and our trust in Him. So when you're in these catch-22 situations, here's what we need to do. Number one, we need to go where God leads us to go. Keep in mind with the children of Israel, they had been living in Egypt for 430 years. All the Israelites saw was that God was about to deliver through Moses. They hadn't been raised up to know anything but slavery. That's all they knew was slavery, to be in bondage as slaves in Egypt. They had long ago forgotten God. They weren't Israelites yet. They were Egyptian to the core. They felt Egyptian. That's what they related with, the Egyptians. That's where they'd been for 430 years. They ignored God, and now they needed to learn to adore God in this great Exodus. Let's see how they got to the place they found themselves in by the Red Sea. So God led them in Exodus 13. God led them in a roundabout way through the wilderness towards the Red Sea. Thus the Israelites left Egypt like an army ready for battle. Listen to the phrase, God led them. They had not made a mistake. Though they found themselves in this boxed-in scenario, it wasn't a mistake because they were led by God. It wasn't a miscalculation. They had not taken a wrong turn. They had used what we call today a GPS. Then it was called the God positioning system. Today, it's called something different. Thanks, Dustin. Why did God do that to them? Why does God do that to us sometimes? Why does God allow us to get to these places in our life where we see no way out? Why? So we'll be encouraged to trust in Him and follow Him for our way out. There's one school that God enrolls us in when we become His children that we'll never graduate from. It's called the school of faith. Our faith is constantly being built up. Our faith is constantly being poured into. As we find ourselves in these predicaments, these precarious situations, it gives us an opportunity for our faith to be built in trusting in God more and more. Faith is not a talent that we're born with. It's not something that we can work on ourselves and build up. It's something that we have to put our trust in God and allow Him to build inside of us. Now the bad news here, God led them to the Red Sea where it seemed like they were going to meet their demise. But here's the good news. God never leads us where He doesn't go before us. He always goes before us. This is the miraculous thing about trying to understand the ways of God. Like, to try to wrap your mind around how He can go before us and yet still be behind us and still be beside us, but yet He's still before us. This is the God we serve. He's everywhere, all the time, always, because He loves His children so much. You're going to see in just a moment there are times when God will lead you to a place of despair and desperation. Why? Because He's given us an opportunity to be dependent on Him and Him alone. When there's no way out, no other way to look, it gives us an opportunity. It's an opportunity. We get to trust Him. We get to put our faith in Him. We get to put our hope in Him. Because we know time and time again, like Travis said before, the things that He's rescued us from are one thing that we can encourage ourselves with. But just enough that we have eternal life is enough to have our faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone. We've got to depend on Him. And here's another thing I want you to think about and try to ponder in your mind. You can't cross a Red Sea. When I say Red Sea, we're talking about the Red Sea. This is what the Israelites face. In your life, it's going to be something different. It's probably not going to be an actual Red Sea or an actual river or a creek that you have to cross. But it's going to be something you face in your life that's going to get you to this place that you have to put your trust in Him. But you can't cross a Red Sea until you come to the Red Sea. You have to get to that place before you can cross it. You will never experience the greatness of God, the power of God, the love of God, and the glory of God until you allow God to put us in a place where only He can make our way out. He can resolve the catch 22. That is why He is the greatest way to know God is only to experience Him and go wherever He leads you to go. Number one, go where God leads you to go. Number two, do what God tells you to do. This is the point in the movie where you hear the music, it lets you know that there's a climatic scene coming. The Israelites could hear the hooves, the horses thundering down upon them. They could see the spears and the swords gleaming in the sun. They could feel the heat and the fire coming out of the eyes of Pharaoh himself. And it looks like they're literally in the last moments of their life. Now, put yourself in Moses' shoes. You have this great Egyptian army chasing you down. You're in a box. How would you respond? How would you respond? You might be tempted to you might be tempted to just yell, run! Everybody run! Save your life! Go where you can! Run! Let's divide! You might be tempted to ask anybody, do you have a white flag we can wave? This is going to be too much. We're getting ready to die. Let's surrender. Many of us would just look up to heaven and say, this is another mess you've got me into, God. Anybody else? God, look what you've done to me. You've got me in this mess. Now how do I get out? But what did Moses say? Do not be afraid. He said, do not be afraid. Can you just hear what his people said? Would say? What? That's all you've got? Our leader? Do not be afraid? What is our way out? How do we get out of this situation? It gets better. Moses isn't done. He answered his people and said, do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance of the Lord that the Lord will bring today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see them again.
Hallelujah.
Just watch and you will see the deliverance of the Lord. Why does Moses give them that kind of advice when the heat is on and the end is near? It's in these moments that we cannot panic. In these moments where we feel like we're at the end, we're at our demise, we cannot panic. We have to stand strong. We have to stand confident in the faith that we have in our Lord and Savior. He will speak to you. He will talk to you. He will show you what to do if you will allow Him to do that. Once you've done all you know to do, you must simply wait and see what God will do. I think sometimes we get in our own strength so much, we wear ourselves out trying to do something on our own, trying to get ourselves, dig ourselves out of this hole. Kind of reminds me of like if you've ever dug a hole on a beach in the sand. You like get down in the hole, you try to dig. You try to dig sides out, the sand falls in. Try to dig more sides out, sand keeps falling in. It's like it never stops falling in. This is what happens when we try to do stuff on our own strength. The sand just keeps falling and flowing in on us. It's important to note that God's time isn't ours either. He doesn't wear a watch. He doesn't keep time like we keep time. But His time is perfect.
Amen.
His time is perfect, and it always is. Though sometimes it feels like the 11th hour for us, it's the first hour for Him. Our 11th hour is His first hour. It's another way that we can't comprehend the things of God. They're mysterious. They're odd. They don't line up with our logical thinking. But that's good. I don't want God's ideas to line up with mine. I'm just minuscule. My thoughts are very small compared to His. Perfect timing means everything to God. He will never part the Red Sea in your life until you first go where He tells you to go and do what He tells you to do. And then in His time, His perfect time, He will act. Number three, we're going to believe what God says He will do. Let's set up the final scene of the story. God has set the hook Himself. Exodus 14:4, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will pursue them, and I will get glory over Pharaoh and all the hosts, and the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. And they did so. God was not going to make it easy for the Israelites to make their escape. Otherwise, they would think they could do it on their own. They would think that they did it on their own. This is an opportunity for Him to draw His chosen people back into relationship with Himself. They would get the glory for themselves. They would pat themselves in the back. God always has a method to His glory. In verse 9 we read, the Egyptians pursued them, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them and camped by the sea. He had 600 of his selected chariots being ridden by the best officers of the Egyptian army. They were the army rangers, the Delta Force, the Navy SEALs, the special forces of Pharaoh's army. Pharaoh had his best, or Israel could experience his worst. He had Israel right where he wanted them. And God says to Moses, face the Red Sea and forward march. No nation had ever done this before. This is the first time an entire nation had simply marched out from under the bondage of another nation without firing a shot, wielding a spear, drawing a sword. Moses had certainly never led an Exodus before. He didn't go to school to get a degree in Exodology. There was no map, there was no three ring binder, there was no photocopied step-by-step instructions on how to make a mass Exodus. There was no Exodus for Dummies book with cliff notes. He couldn't go to the internet and say, how do you do an Exodus? There was nothing to do now except simply do what God told him to do and believe that God would do what he said he would do. And we find in Exodus 14, verse 21, then Moses raised his hand over the sea, and the Lord opened up a path through the water with a strong east wind. The wind blew all that night, turning the seabed into dry land. So the people of Israel walked through the middle of the sea on dry ground with walls of water on each side. Come on. This is the God we serve. Now when you picture this, when I picture this Red Sea miracle of God parting the sea, we see pictures in children's Bibles, and we see pictures of this little pathway and these waves like that one person might be able to fit through, right? Listen, this is mind-blowing. There's 2 to 3 million children of Israel. 2 to 3 million people in this group of people that left Egypt. How many of you know that's a lot of people? Just to give you there's about 250,000 in our community. In our Rockingham County, here we're together. That's how many people are in our community. That's still a lot of people, right? In order for them to cross the Red Sea in one night, double filed like the pictures show us, the line would be 800 miles long. 800 miles and would require 30 days to get through. To walk through in one night, as they did, as the word says they did, they would need to walk 5,000 people abreast. 5,000 people abreast in a 3 mile wide space in the city. Do you think Moses had this figured out when he left? Do you think he had his physics calculated and knew how he was going to make this happen? No. No. But he had a word from God. And he acted upon it. It's the same for you and I. Get a word from God and act upon it. Moses was just going where God led him to go. He just did what God told him to do and believed that God was going to do what he said he would do and deliver them from the bondage that they were in to Pharaoh. 2 to 3 million Israelites made their way through dry land. Dry land. Dry. He dried up the land under the sea in one night. They didn't have muddy sandals. They didn't have muddy feet. They had dry land to walk across. And the Egyptian army followed them like lambs to slaughter. And then God removes his hand and the divine dam breaks. The divine dam breaks and covers the Egyptian army. Amazing grace. This is the amazing grace that we walk in as children of God. This is the amazing, miraculous movements that God is still doing today. He might not be parting actual Red Seas, but I believe if he needs to, he will. But he is making place in he's making space in our hearts and lives to trust him and doing things that in our hearts that compare to maybe this Red Sea miracle that the children of Israel face. As we put our faith and trust in him and him alone. This is not anywhere near the end of the story. The greatest thing that really happened was not the Red Sea parting, but the Red Sea closing. Here's why the story is one of the greatest stories in the Bible and is still celebrated today by Jewish people and we should celebrate as followers of Christ. In Exodus 14:25, the Egyptians were wiped out just as God said they would be. God said he would be glorified and the Egyptians would know that he is the Lord. Listen to what these Egyptians said in their last words just before they died in verse 25. Let us flee from before Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians. For the first time, these Egyptians had acknowledged God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and even called him by his name. More than that, for the first time, the children of Israel had come home to their God. Thus the Lord served Israel, saved Israel that day from the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. In Exodus 14:31, it says, when the people of Israel saw the mighty power that the Lord had unleashed against the Egyptians, they were filled with awe before him and put their faith in the Lord and in his servant Moses. In 430 years of forgetting God, they had come back to believing God. It's the same for you and I. It might not be 430 years, that's a long time. It might be 4 minutes. It might be 4 hours, 4 days, 4 years of not believing God. But God is inviting us back to trust him. And he's inviting us back to believe in him. He's inviting us back to allow him to part the Red Sea in our life. When you're in a catch-22 and you are in a situation that's out of your control, remember, as a child of God, when you're in a situation that seems out of your control, he is in control. He is in control of our circumstances. He is in control of our situations. Our God is in control. When you have nowhere else to look, look up. Look up to him. Look up to the one that created it all. Look up to the one who saved us, who sent his son to die for us. Not a single Egyptian lived through the ambush, and not a single Hebrew even got scratched. 2 to 3 million people walk out of bondage into freedom without lifting a hand, without a fight. Why? Because they trusted in God. They trusted in God. This wasn't the end of the story. Not even near the end of the story. The miracle still happened after they crossed the Red Sea. It wasn't just the Red Sea and then the Egyptians got overtaken. There's still miracles that happened after that. Moses had the task of leading these 3 million people through a wilderness. This is mind-blowing. 3 million people will require
15 tons of food every day. 15 tons of food, I got this right here.
15 tons of food every day. We turn that down a little bit. 15 tons. Enough food that would require 2 freight trains 1 mile long to feed them. 4,000 tons of firewood every day. 11 million gallons of water to drink and bathe in. You got it. Every day. Every time they camped, they would need a campground 750 square miles. Every time. 750 square miles. This is about the size of Rhode Island they would need to camp. It still isn't the end of the story. What the Exodus of the Old Testament is to us is the resurrection in the New Testament. The Exodus is a picture of what Jesus has done for us. He faced our Red Sea called sin. Behind that was death. Behind that was separation. And he held a cross over our Red Sea of sin, and he parted it for us. Our resurrected Lord can lead us into a promised land where we can live with him forever and ever. It's like Travis was talking about earlier. This is the delayed promise that we're worshiping God for. It's not for him to get us out of a circumstance we're in or to deliver us from this thing we're dealing with. It's eternal life. That's why we're here together. We're here together to worship because of eternal life that we don't deserve. We don't deserve it, yet God saw fit to make us a place in heaven so we can be with him forever. That's our Red Sea, sin. Now today you might be thinking, well, I have another Red Sea. It might be finances, it might be health, it might be relationship, it might be depression, addiction, whatever your Red Sea is. This is how good God is. Not only did he pardon us from sin, but he delivered us and set us free from all that other stuff too. He made provision for us. He's Jehovah Rapha. He's the God that heals. He's Jehovah Jireh, the God that provides. He's Jehovah Shalom, our God of peace. This is the God. Not only did he pardon our sins, but he set us free from captivity to these things that help, that hold us down, that keep us stuck from believing and knowing what God has truly called us to as sons and daughters. That's how good our God is, right? Do y'all agree with that? Do y'all understand that? Do you understand the power that that brings? Do you understand the significance in serving a God that not only gives you life to live forever, but gives you life to live abundantly while you're here? This life is just temporary. This is just a stepping stone into our eternal home. But God loves us so much, he didn't want us to stay bound to the sin of this world. So he sent his son so we could be set free. It's a good story. But it's not a, when I say story, it makes it sound like it's something that is made up. This is the truth. This is the living truth. This is what we live by as children of God. This is what we believe in. This is how we make our life. We make our life knowing that God sent his son for us so we can live forever. And then he said, that's not enough for my children, right? As a parent, I want to give my children the very best. I want them to have the best chance, right? I want to make the best space for them to succeed. And if I want to do that for my kids, can you understand how much God wants his children to succeed and have the very best chance? So if we find ourselves in these predicaments where we don't see a way out, we feel boxed in, we feel lost, we feel stuck, we got three things to do. Go where God tells you to go. Do what God tells you to do. And believe that God will do everything that he said he would do. When God gives a word and speaks, he doesn't leave out a detail. And he does everything that he says he'll do. We have to believe that and receive that as children of the King. Bow your heads and let us pray. God, I thank you for who you are. I thank you that you are the greatest, you're the greatest love story. That you would send your son for us and make a way for us to show us, to deliver us, to speak to us, to encourage us. We can find our confidence in you. You may be in here this morning and be facing the Red Sea. You may be here this morning and facing that Red Sea of sin that we were talking about. Maybe you don't know Jesus as your Savior. Maybe one time you knew him, but you slipped away from him. He's inviting you home today. He's inviting you back into a relationship with him. If that's you, I just want you to slip up your hand. Nobody's looking around. Just me, you, and God. If you don't know God and want to know him, today could be that day. Maybe you slipped away and you want to come back into a relationship with him. Just lift your hand with me. I see that hand. You can put it down. I'll just pause for another moment. This is an opportunity to be regrafted or grafted in to eternal family in Jesus. Maybe today you're facing a Red Sea. You're facing a dilemma in your life, and you're ready to put your faith in Jesus to lead you, to speak to you, and to give you the opportunity to believe Him. If that's you, just stand with me. If you have a dilemma in your life that you need help getting through, just stand with me. I'll pray a blessing over us. We all just pause for a moment. God, I thank you that when we find ourselves in dilemmas and predicaments, that you're there with us. You never leave us, you never forsake us, you're always as close as the call of your name. And God, for each of us that are standing, that are facing a situation, you know what it is, you know what's on our heart, you know what's on our mind, God. And I pray that you would give us the urgency, the dependence to trust you, God, to believe in the invisible God, the one that is everywhere at all times, the one that can deliver us, the one that can set us free, the one that can get us unstuck from the bondage the enemy brings to us. God, I pray that each person that's standing, God, I pray that they would encounter you in their situation, they would encounter you in their predicament, they would encounter the voice of God to speak clearly to them, and that you would draw them out into more faith in you. God, I pray that you bless each person abundantly, supernaturally, above what they ever hope or imagine. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let me pray a blessing over you all, and then we'll be dismissed. God, I thank you for your people. I thank you that they came to your house today to encounter you. God, I pray that you would encounter them as they go. Keep them this week. Keep them safe in the hollow of your hand. May our glory shine upon them. May your abundance be in them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless.